This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan, CBS Sports Network. Jerry was pretty bullish on the Nets on Friday, and they came out and played really, really well on Saturday.
How about the fact, too, in that game, the Sixers made a run for sure, got to within, I think it was two, and they answered right back and really start to finish played a great basketball game.
Yeah, and that gives you so much hope as a Nets fan. And this is the one thing that I was saying about the Sixers. I thought that they'd probably win in five, but that there's a little bit of vulnerability there.
For
if
sure.
You can get to them and the team basketball and coming in waves like the Nets play. So we'll see if it continues, but stealing one on the road, I mean, you already did what you needed to do when you won game one. All right, Jerry's here. There's so much to do, so let's hear it, Jerry. What's going on?
We are brought to you by Buick GMC of Mahwah. Visit BuickGMCofMahwah.com. We'll get to the basketball in a minute, but first, obviously, the back page, the front page of the papers would be Tiger Woods, and understandably so, as we hear from Jim Nance on CBS.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance.
Yes. Not his best call.
Nance on CBS. Tiger Woods wins the Masters at 13 under par, one shot better than Xander Schauffele, Dustin Johnson, and Brooks Koepka. Fifth Masters win and his first since 2014 years ago, 2005. Last time he did it, Tiger a little bit emotional.
This has meant so much to me and my family, this tournament. And to have everyone here, it's something I'll never, ever forget.
Charlie,
any of you
Sam,
guys cry?
His mom, I did not.
Al did.
Yeah, apparently Al
did not.
Al was crying.
No,
well,
I was not. I was next to Gina, who was crying.
Well, she said, "We're crying." She tweeted out, "What a moment we're crying."
Yes, she did do that. And I said, it was not.
Crying?
It wasn't we.
Why were you crying?
I was not crying.
You were crying. Yes, you were.
She cried at the Tiger the embraces embrace. His dad, then Tiger embraces his son.
That was kind of cool.
It was very cool.
Ready to go.
It didn't get me, though. It did not. And I'm one to cry at sporting events.
I only got an alert on my phone.
Or baseball game?
Oh, yeah. We were out from... Yeah, I didn't see any of this yesterday, unfortunately.
My goodness. And you, being the huge golf fan that you are, this had to drive you crazy.
You know what? I did not see much of this all weekend.
Wow.
Which, in the past, I would set aside everything to watch Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This weekend was bad.
And you're not the biggest Tiger Woods fan.
No,
but...
I like Tiger. I'm a Mickelson guy. But yeah. I like... You know, I think it's good when he's good... The game's more popular.
Sure.
Oh, and without
so
question.
That's, as a golf guy, you prefer it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, to see him win again, and it is amazing. Even Al pointed out before we do a warm-up show every morning, Boomer, from 5:45 to 6, and Al pointed out the red shirt. He was not aware that he wore the shirt every Sunday of a, you know, of a, well, whatever.
I mean, but Al is the quintessential, you know, fan that just actually watched because Tiger was involved. You
that
would have watched if he weren't involved, right?
Yeah, no chance. Or even if he was involved and not doing anything spectacular.
And then you ended up crying at the end.
Well,
it's crazy. Crying and everything.
I know, you got the tears going.
But it is amazing. You look at him with the hat on. He takes the hat off. He's bald. But, you know, with the hat on, he looks the same.
I know.
Jacked. 15, yes, he's in shape. He looks good, so good for him.
Well, he changed the whole way golfers went about their business. And he spawned this entire... youth infused PGA Tour now with all these great guys. They're all thin. They all look like they're healthy. They're all taking care of themselves, and they look like real athletes as opposed to remember the Penguin and John Daly.
I do, sure.
Even Jack Nicklaus, those guys smoking up the fairways.
John Daly was signing boobs at Hooters.
Yeah, right. I know. It's incredible.
It's what
the picture's
there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Boobs and butts. Here's Tiger talking about boobs, butts. How about backs? His back is back, and that's part of why he's successful again.
Luckily, I had the procedure on my back, which gave me a chance at you know, having a, you know, a normal life.
Also laid off the women in the private jets flying across the world, so that's good too. Not only do we have all these major win numbers, how about it's his 81st win on the tour, only one behind Sam Snead. So he's right there for the all-time record as well. So Tiger's back, and you can certainly listen, read, and watch all about it all day long. Mets and Braves on Sunday Night Baseball. You said they'd split. You nailed it. Mets took Thursday and Friday. Vargas started Saturday. Whoa. God, was he horrendous. And then last night, Jacob deGrom really struggled to get through five.
So here's the 2-2. Swing and a drive well hit to the gap in left center. This one back near the wall. Gone, a home run. That was very similar to the one that J.D. Davis hit for the Mets earlier in this game. A line drive home run into the first couple of rows to the right of the 385 mark in left center.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose on WCBS.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Donaldson's home run along with Nick Markakis. Braves beat the Mets 7-3, five innings for DeGrom, who does take the loss, 114 pitches in five innings. It seemed like every batter had a 3-2 count. He took the defeat. Here was Mickey Callaway. He says he was all right.
Yeah, he pitched well enough to keep us in the game, and they did a great job of running his pitch count up, now, spoiling a lot of pitches.
Charlie. Have they said anything about Vargas and moving him to the bullpen?
Oh, they
or
love him. Are you kidding me?
I mean,
said anything about moving him to the bullpen? They got his back.
Here's Brody Van Wagenen before the game on Vargas.
Consistency is what everybody's looking for, and we think that that Jason is absolutely capable of pitching better than he did yesterday.
That's actually Vargas practicing the organ behind him so he can keep a job.
I don't know. Just put him in the bullpen. Be a lefty
or stop
specialist.
Just get him out. It's unbelievable. Do they have anybody in the wings that they could throw in
Dallas Keuchel. Go
sign him. Seriously. I know. It's
not for anything. How about anybody? Take a kid at a AA. He's got to be better than this.
He's my least favorite Met. He's my least favorite Met of all time. He has replaced Roger Cedeno. Roger Cedeno's second go round, the guy couldn't care about baseball. He wouldn't run any ground
Didn't
ball.
He get heavy?
He was terrible. Yeah, he was
second
fat and heavy, yes. And just signed that big contract.
Yep.
I hated his guts. I used to go to Shea and scream at him constantly. Vargas is now replaced.
Vargas
has replaced Roger Cedeno as my least favorite Met of all time
because
the game's over. The second he takes them out,
Saturday.
And I don't want to hear about his great second half last year. What does that mean?
It was so bad Saturday.
It's not just bad. It's like the worst you've ever seen.
Oh, it's terrible. And I forget who started for the Braves. He was just as bad. Yeah. He got taken out in the second inning. Oh, it was just awful. Anyhow, here was DeGrom. He was asked if he's tipping pitches. He says no, he's just not making pitches right now.
Look at the pitches they're hitting. They're in the middle of the plate. When I make my pitch, I'm getting the swings I want.
So the Mets now 9-6. Same for the Braves. The Mets go to Philadelphia tonight. Noah Syndergaard takes on Aaron Nola. The Phillies did beat the Marlins. Took them 14 innings. Gene Segura with a two-run homer in that game. This is right. I'm not sure if it was the same inning or an inning prior. I'm not sure. But I did see the highlights where the Marlins threw out Bryce Harper at the plate all the way from left field. Pretty good play. But Segura with the home run, they come up with the victory. Meantime, Yankees lost a rain-shortened game Friday night to the White Sox. Saturday, they come back and win, and then yesterday, not so good.
And the pitch hit in the air to deep right center. Back goes Judge on the track looking up, and she is gone. It's a grand slam. It just got over the auxiliary scoreboard in right center. So Tim Anderson takes Tanaka the other way, just over the auxiliary scoreboard. It is a grand salami for Anderson. Heck. And the White Sox take a 4-2 lead.
Yeah. The White Sox almost had another grand slam if it weren't for Aaron Judge out in left field.
Exactly
right field.
Yep.
I mean, Jesus.
Was that Moncada that hit that one? I got to look, but I saw the play. It was not Moncada?
No. The Yankees had four hits yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
I mean, they are like.
John on the fan, and Tanaka struggled. He goes 5-plus because even in the, 4-plus, in the fifth inning, he gives up.
It's Abreu.
Double. Oh, it was Abreu.
It's Abreu.
Right.
Okay. I was going to say this. So now they get today off, which is good. You know, collect your thoughts or whatever. Red Sox come in tomorrow. Paxton's on the mound. And now the question is Paxton emotionally ready for this? Oh, God. I mean, this what I remember I told you last week?
Yeah.
You know, they had to win the outing that he was pitching last week. It was a must-win Wednesday or whatever the hell it was.
They still kept playing games.
Guys were laughing at me, and I said, look, man, this guy supposedly came from Seattle, and he gets it. He has the perfect personality for all of this. And then all of a sudden you read about his emotional state?
and he's going to be on the mound against the Red Sox in front of like 45,000 pissed off Yankee fans?
Yeah, I know. He said he's tipping pitches, he's got confidence issues, and the pressure is getting to him. So that's great. In April. Yeah, they brought him over, and this thing, the whole thing was he's going to be able to deal with this. I kept saying it because it was funny. He's Canadian. You know, these things don't get to him. It's no problem. He'll be able. He's the big maple. He's got maple syrup running through the veins. He's perfect. Don't have to worry about him.
And he's
April.
So good.
April, he's melting down already.
I mean, I understand the confidence thing and everything, but you don't have to verbalize it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, if he just decides to say, like, I'm emotionally a wreck right now.
Here he is talking about going into the series.
I'm sure I'll be a little nervous going in, you know, having it be my first experience being a part of this rivalry.
Just oozing confidence.
I'm sure I'll be a little nervous going in, you know, having it be my first experience being a part of this rivalry.
Talking about pitching, tipping pitches, but not always that.
That being said, I also didn't throw the ball very well. I was over the middle of the plate too much.
So just like DeGrom, same type of deal. Here was Aaron Boone. The team's 6-9, but they're fine.
We're in a sound place as far as our focus.
Yeah, not great.
All right. Well, that's all about him managing the team and, you know, making sure the team is focused. That's what he's telling you, that I got it. I got the whole thing handled.
Carlos Rodon, 6 innings for the win. You mentioned Yankees and Red. And at least Sabathia was good yesterday,
great.
Coming back on Saturday. Yep. That's exactly right. All right, elsewhere in baseball, not give you all of it because a lot of it earlier in the day, but some of the late games, Rockies and Giants yesterday, and you had Herman Marquez taking a no-hitter into the eighth until Evan Longoria came up.
Ground ball left side. This time it gets through. Arenado slams his glove on the ground in disgust. He couldn't get to it. Evan Longoria breaks up the no-hitter with one out in the bottom of the eighth
That's
inning.
That's Jack Corrigan, Rockies Radio. It's interesting because the ball's hit between third and short. Just a, you know, an innocent ground ball goes for a hit. Just prior to that, a ground of really hard-hit ball hits off Arenado. He catches it in midair and makes a ridiculous throw over to first. You would have thought, oh, this is his day. And then you get a ground ball base hit. So the Rockies wound up winning 4-0. Marquez, the complete game one hitter, he did strike out 9. Also of note, Phillies beat the Marlins. As I mentioned, it was 3-1 was the final there. L.A. snaps a 6-game losing streak with a win over the Brewers 7-1. And we take you back to Saturday. So Friday night at Fenway, Chris Davis pinch hits, does not get a hit.
Mm-hmm.
0-54. You take him on Saturday, and everything changed.
Porcello out of the full windup. Davis is going to get one. Base hit into right field. And Sadie will score. Smith will score. RBIs 1 and 2. And for Chris Davis, it's over, baby.
Not only that, and as we pointed out the other day, I think even Al said, watch him get a couple of hits. We got 3 on Saturday. So a 3-hit day for Davis. That streak ends. So good for him as he can now move on with his life. Stanley Cup playoffs. Islanders and Penguins. And how about the Isles taking a 3-0 series lead?
Kunackle trying to get it out with the help of Nelson Abelju. Here is Brock. 2-on-1 over the Penguin line. Down the slot. Shoots and scores! Brock Nelson gives the Islanders their first lead of the game. It's 2-1 New York with just over 5.5 to go in the opening period.
Just a minute after Jordan Eberle had scored, and so the Isles go up 2-1. They tack
dead
on a
in that building.
Couple
you can kind of hear it in that highlight.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I mean, nobody.
Quick strikes.
They were just sitting there, just totally out of it, that crowd. Unbelievable.
You know, it's amazing. If you think back to the beginning of the season when Lou Lamoriello was bringing in all these free agents to sign, Valtteri Filppula, Leo Komarov, Matt Martin, Robin Lehner, it was like, everybody was laughing at it, like, oh, you're signing all these fourth and third line guys and all this other crap. And here they are, 3-0 against arguably the greatest player of his time. Denny Malkin and Phil Kessel and Chris Letang and all these, Jake Gensel. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they have totally taken those guys out of their game, too. I mean, Crosby and Gensel have just been invisible the entire series.
And I look at this roster for the Islanders, 85% of the roster is basically Garth Snow's roster.
Yes, yeah, so that's why you got to get rid of Lou and bring Garth back.
No, no, but I'm just saying, you know, you don't want to forget about that. Yeah. But what Lou did, Lou brought in Trotz, instilled, I guess, whatever discipline that is required, and they're all playing for each other. They got each other's back. They're playing solid defense. They're hitting the other team. And by the way, a couple of these other series are getting pretty downright nasty. I mean, guys going after each other, high sticks, guys getting suspended. I mean, this Boston-Toronto series is out of control. It really is. It's why it's they're worth the every dollar that you pay to go to one of these games.
I can only handle one hockey series at a time.
Really?
So I'll leave the rest of it up
to you. I mean, same thing in the NBA, man. That Portland and OKC game yesterday, I think it was a war. Your boy Enes Kanter was all over the place yesterday.
Oh, why don't we hear from Enes Kanter? Yes. Because he played well.
Adams, four to shoot. Enes now drives, scoops the shot above the glass, and put it in! Kanter scores! Time out Oklahoma City! And Billy Donovan is frustrated, flustered, and flabbergasted.
There's Enes radio. 104-99 the final. Enes Kanter had 20 20 points and 18 rebounds. Damian Lillard with 30. The place was jacked. Portland gets a postseason victory. Good for them. Also of note, Bucks beat the Pistons 121-86. Did you see the highlight of Giannis Antetokounmpo go three quarters of the length of the floor with one dribble?
Yes.
I mean, he's ridiculous. Stupid. That long stride he's got. 24 points, 17 rebounds for him. Celtics beat the Pacers 84-74. Boston outscored Indiana in the third quarter 26-8. And I believe their Indiana's uncontested shots, they went 2-for-19, which is ridiculous. Al was talking about in the warm-up we do every morning, Boomer, from 5:45 to 6.
Yeah.
We're talking about how pro golfers, like, how do they ever miss a shot? How about professional basketball players with no one in front of them going 2-for-19?
Yes. Collectively, as a group.
As a group.
Yeah, not just one guy with the yips, collectively as
crazy.
A group.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And the Rockets buried the Jazz 122-90. We mentioned the Nets and Sixers. That's on the fan tonight. Brooklyn up one game to none. Here was Brett Brown post-game Saturday discussing the Embiid and Johnson cell phone situation.
It's completely unacceptable. And second, we will deal with it internally, I'm sure, very soon.
Johnson had been fine.
Don't they realize that the players have feelings? I mean, and, you know, you have to deal with them, and they need cell phone breaks. And now, look, I understand that Embiid is basically saying Johnson's daughter was sick, they were looking at some sort of text message. And I give Doris Burke a lot of credit.
She went after him.
She ripped them.
Yeah.
And good for her. Good for her. That was, like, one of the best things on television this past weekend. And, it just goes to show you, you just got to wonder, do they really, truly want to be great? You know, like, you know, LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, I would say Michael Jordan, those guys wanted to be great. As much as a pain in the neck it must be to coach guys like that, at least you knew when they came to the game that they were all in. And Joel Embiid got a max contract.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been great, though. I know that this incident does not look good for him, but Joel Embiid, the Sixers aren't where they are without him. I mean, he's their best player by far.
I understand, and he's playing with a bad knee, and there's still reports that he may not play again tonight. And if he does play, will he play a full game or only a partial game? And I think that's one of the reasons why the Nets were able to win. But at the end of the day, you got the right matchup if you're the Nets here. And you got them hanging by a thread right now. And their own fans are booing the hell out of them.
Yes, I know. Those Philadelphia fans, they'll turn on you.
They were booing in the first half, too.
Yep.
Game two tonight, as you mentioned, just after 8 o'clock. Also tonight, you got the Warriors and the Clippers. Golden State up one game to none there.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.